This episode contains graphic descriptions of real medical scenarios faced by real medical professionals. Listener discretion is advised. From Knowledgeable Provider, this is Critical Incident. So as I was listening back through, kind of proof listening to the mixtape episode where I was talking about the different songs, I got to the part about one of my preceptors slash mentors in EMS, Alan Bragwell, who was killed in a helicopter crash several years ago. And I was talking about a day where I was riding with him as a student and there was a water rescue situation going on. And I was struck by how we got there and he just, without hesitation, just took his equipment and jumped in a boat and off he went, even though that typically is not our role as medics. And I said that I always wanted to try to emulate that in my own career. And what flashed into my head when I heard myself talking about that, okay, fast forward, let me see. It had to be 10 to 15 years later. So I'm a paramedic. I'm working for HMSI in Huntsville, and we're going to a water rescue situation. There's somebody, I believe it was a kayaker, canoeist? That doesn't sound right. Somebody in a boat on the Flint River had gone in the water and some accident had happened. I don't know. So we get called down there. So we go down to the rendezvous point where everybody is, and the volunteer fire department's there. They have their boat in the water and they're waiting for one of us to jump in with them. So, hey, this is my moment. Hold on to the wings of the angels and watch as we all fly away. This is my Alan Bragwell moment. So I do just like he did. I grab my shit, jump in the boat. Let's go. Let's go. And all right. So we're talking about, okay. So we're talking about like a flat bottom, you know, I don't know if it had a steering wheel or just the tiller, you know, stick on the motor. We're talking about a small, like fishing boat type boat here. And the water on the Flint River that day was not especially deep. And so it's me, probably the physically largest person involved in this whole situation, sitting in the middle of this boat, my equipment, whatever. And these firefighters, at least four of them, were like dragging this boat through the water. This water was not, it wasn't even up to their knees. I mean, it was not deep. Like the bottom of the boat's like dragging along the bottom of the quote unquote river. And it was so fucking ridiculous. I felt so ridiculous. It looked ridiculous. Oh, I hope there's somebody has a picture of that somewhere. And I'm like, guys, really, I can just get out and walk. It's fine. You know, my boots can get wet. It's okay. And they're like, no, we got you. We got you, you know? So, yeah, shit, Alan, I tried, man. And nothing really came of the call that we were responding to. We made it down the river a little ways and it was some drunk girls on a kayak that had flipped over and, you know, they were wet and cold, but essentially they were fine. So I think we put them in our little boat and we got dragged all the way back to the ramp. And, you know, we just took them in the ambulance and took them to the hospital. I'm pretty sure they were fine. I guess about the worst water-related accident I ever responded to was a little girl that got killed on a jet ski in Florence when I worked for North Star. It happened way out in the country, in the county, pretty far away from the city where we would have been. Of course, I don't remember exactly where we were when we got the call, but I went back and looked it up on Google Maps just now. It would have been about 17 miles from where our office was located, so about a 25-minute drive, according to Google Maps. So pretty long response time. And for whatever reason, the helicopter was dispatched at the same time we were. And, you know, normally we would be there first and kind of have a few minutes to get everything situated and started before the helicopter arrived. But in this case, it was such a long response that we ended up getting there at the same time. I remember this great little moment where we're flying down this two-lane country road, you know, nothing around us but fields and trees and whatnot. And look over and there's the helicopter flying kind of right beside us, kind of banking in the sun, you know, this very neat moment of like we're both headed out there at the same time. I thought that was pretty cool. But that was the last cool thing about this call. So we get there. It's a house like on the lake or on the river with a pier. And they brought the girl to the pier. So she was there laying on the pier. We didn't have to like go out and get her or go into the water or anything. And her dad was there with her. And I think he was still standing in the water. She was up on the pier and he was trying to do CPR or rescue breathing for her.
And the story about what had happened was that they were riding on a jet ski and a limb overhanging the water hit her, knocked her off. And I've always kind of wondered about the story because, like, if they were on the same jet ski, you know, either she was behind him or she was in front of him. And either way, it's hard to understand how the limb would have hit her and not him. I guess if she was in the back, it's possible that he ducked and she didn't. Or maybe she was standing behind him, he was sitting. But you'd think if she had been in front of him, the limb would have hit him, right? In the back of my head, I've always wondered if something different actually happened. Like maybe she was out riding the jet ski by herself. Or maybe he actually hit her with the jet ski, ran over her. You know, maybe she was in the water and he came back to pick her up and actually ran into her. I don't know. No idea. I was Googling, searching around. I couldn't find any news stories about any kind of criminal charges or anything like that. So as far as I know, somehow she was on a jet ski and ran under a limb that was hanging over the water and got knocked off. Something hit her in the head. She obviously had a big head injury. And I mean, like, skull cracked open and brain matter coming out. I don't remember if she still had a pulse or not. I don't so much remember doing chest compressions. So maybe she did still have a pulse. So anyway, we get down there to her, to the pier, and we're trying to take care of her. Her dad was all over her trying to do the rescue breathing and trying to help, which was pretty sad. And, you know, it's hard to push a parent away from their child. But of course, we needed to get in there and work. And so I think I got there and was trying to sort of assess and see what was going on and get the bag valve mask out and start ventilating her. And then, like a couple of superheroes, the flight crew was just right there. And the medic just appeared with an ET tube in his hand and a laryngoscope in the other hand, an intubator, just boom. I don't know how. I mean, it wasn't like he had the kit with him and he opened it up and Broslow taped her and figured out ball. I mean, he just came with a tube and the scope and dropped it. Bam. I guess he must have just guessed at the tube size based on her age that he got from dispatch. I don't know, but I thought that was pretty impressive. And so the dad's still right on top of us, you know, when that happened. And I remember, I'll never forget this. The medic got the tube in, and I don't even know if it was secured or not yet, but the dad grabs the ET tube and starts blowing into it, like, you know, trying to ventilate the girl. Mouth to tube resuscitation. That's the only time I've ever seen that happen. And of course, we're like, no, you know, back up. But very sad, you know, very sad to watch that happening. So we ended up in the ambulance briefly. My big contribution was to get an IV started on her. The flight medic was in the truck with me, and I remember him going, excellent, excellent work, great work, something like that. Which, oh, it made me feel good. You know, got a little pat on the head from one of my heroes there. Again, I don't remember doing chest compressions, really, so she must have still had a pulse. And I don't remember really a lot of other injuries. I think it was just a big, big head trauma. We transported her all of, you know, it was a long driveway down to the water, so we just kind of drove up the driveway and then across the street to where the helicopter was parked in a field. We loaded her up in the helicopter and then they took off. I looked up her obituary and it said she died at ECM Hospital. So they didn't fly her anywhere else, you know. But when I was looking around and Googling, trying to find her obituary and whatnot, I found her on a donor family quilt, which is a little site that is maintained by Legacy of Hope, Alabama's Organ and Tissue Donation Alliance. And they have this big, giant list of quilt squares that people have made. There are pictures of the squares on there with each person's name and whatever whoever made the quilt square wants to write. And she was on there. I really want to read her name and read the description that's with the quilt square, but I feel weird about saying her name and revealing her identity. But how about that? She evidently was an organ donor, so and it doesn't say, of course, what she donated, but I didn't know that until right now. So that's a kind of a happier ending to the story than I thought. Not that it's a happy story, obviously, but a silver lining for sure. The other bad water-related call I remember maybe happened in 2011. It was with Himsy, and it was out in Morgan County at this place called Toluca Beach, I think. I'm not 100% sure, but just looking at the map and from what I remember, I think it was out there. And there's a place out there called Redneck Beach, which sounds right. And it was an adult, a guy that had drowned. But I remember it was so freaking weird. I don't remember the story about what happened. Just in trying to Google, I'm not sure it's the right incident that I'm finding. But what I remember is this guy, when we got there, being like face down in the water. But I mean, it was almost like a puddle. It was like a little bit of water on the road or on a dirt road kind of area. That may not be accurate. It was a long time ago, but that's what I remember, is this guy laying face down in like some water, not in the water. And he was the only black person in sight. And there was nobody around who seemed to know anything about what happened, or there was nobody like freaking out or paying attention. It was very weird, very strange vibe. So I don't know what happened to this poor man. I don't know nothing. And again, just in Googling, I can't find any stories about, you know, criminal charges or anything like that. So I don't know what happened to this man. I believe he was dead when we got there. I mean, we transported him, we worked him, but I'm pretty sure he was pulseless and apneic by the time we got there. Doing the Google Maps thing, again, I don't know specifically where we were when we got the call, but mapping it from Station 6, which I believe at the time was the southernmost HMSI station, out to that area was about 20 miles, so about a 26-minute drive estimated by Google Maps, so long response time, and that's really all I remember. It's always weird when you have a strange memory like that, or get a strange vibe about something and you can't, you know, nothing ever came of it. Like, you can't find anything about it. Nothing came of it at the time, as far as I remember. Just a big, just kind of a big question mark when you think back on something like that. Like what the hell actually happened? What was I actually a part of? No idea. I would love to share your critical incident on the podcast. If you have a story you want to tell, send it to me by email at thekppod@gmail.com. That's thekppod@gmail.com. You can send it in writing and I'll read the story. You can make a high-quality recording of yourself telling the story and I'll play that. Or I can interview you about it, either remotely or in person. Thank you for listening, and as always, stay safe, take care of yourself, and take care of your patients in that order.